Welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the podcast where we discuss indie films. Today, I'm super excited about our guest. She's one of my favorite performers. You've probably seen her around, maybe on the Nicole Byer show, loosely exactly Nicole. She's on my favorite episode of that show. We have Marcy Giroux.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Now, the movie you chose was the 1995 cult classic Empire Records.
Yes.
Why did you choose this film?
Well, it was the first film that came to mind when you told me kind of like where we were, like what we were aiming for. And I probably watched this maybe like 40 times in junior high and high school. I was like obsessed with it. I could quote it. I was telling you before we started recording that if you gave me 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure I could write the entire film, like all the dialogue. I might get some of the slug lines wrong, but I think I could write most of the film like in like 2 weeks' time off memory alone.
I was excited when you suggested this too, because I've seen this movie a bunch of times. Oh. And around your around junior high, high school, I owned the soundtrack. Oh,
still good.
It's 90s hits on there.
Yes. Like deep like
kind of cuts of popular bands. Like there's a Cranberry song on there. There's a Gin Blossom song on there.
One of my favorite songs is the song that plays at the end from the V.
Sugar High?
That's Coyote Shivers, right? And the V, it's like, this is the day our life will surely change.
Yeah.
And it's not of 90s time. I think it's a much older song. But that's also what's cool about the movie. Sorry, I'm just launching in.
No. Go nuts.
Is that it's a movie that's based in an indie record store. And so all of the music in it is like these old, great, classic, maybe not even like the B-sides of a lot of like your favorite artists or some like legit stuff. Like I think I never heard of Guar until.
Really?
Because I mean, I was not the kind of, I wasn't like.
I knew Guar, but only because it was referenced in like talk shows and stuff.
Maybe I would have like known it from like, people.
I definitely never listened to Guar.
Yeah, like on Beavis and Butthead or something like that kind of, but I didn't know it myself.
Yeah.
It was too cool / uncool for me.
I was going to say, like, I don't think it's too cool for you.
I can't tell if it's too cool or too uncool. You know, it's like one of those bands.
It's,
or like the fans. I'm saying that if you like Guar, you're either cooler than me or much nerdier than me.
Yeah. I mean, considering in every show someone's eaten on stage.
Yes. And they have like giant penises and they like pretend to puke on the audience.
Yeah.
Or come on the audience and stuff.
For me, okay, this movie is like, I imagine growing up, this is what it was like to work at Amoeba.
This is like it, watching this, like as a kid, I was like, when I grow up and become 17, I want to work at a record store. I thought I was like really into music too.
I think when you're younger, you are.
Yeah. But like now I'm like, give me Billy Joel. I don't want anything else.
Yeah.
Like I only go to concerts where most of the time people have the option to sit and they do.
When people are like, can I play something new? I'm like,
no.
This is crap.
Although I like it, but like I actually gave myself a challenge this year to start liking music or start liking live music again.
Oh, you're stronger than me.
I'm trying.
I don't have the feet.
I just want to be invited to places.
I don't have the feet. I could never. I went to Coachella twice in college.
You don't have the shoes.
Connie. You're talking to someone who owns a pair of Birkenstocks, Crocs, and soon Chacos.
You just need something, either a higher or lower arch. Something is wrong with your arch, I'm positive.
Yeah, oh no, my arch is, I can write a book about it. But yeah, like, okay.
What if you wrote a book about your arches, though?
I mean, I would imagine I'd be doing it Shel Silverstein style, and the book, if you fold all the pages out, it actually goes in the shape of my arch.
I bet some perverts would love that. I mean, maybe that's your thing. You're not a pervert. Sorry.
No. But I don't mind taking their money.
Yeah. Some foot fetish dudes.
But back to this fun movie. It has a lot of 90s stars in it.
Yes.
Liv Tyler. Renee Zellweger.
Ethan Randall now, or Ethan Embry.
Mm-hmm.
He went by both names. Then we have, what is the lady with the blue eyes?
Robin Tunney.
Robin Tunney's in it, but this lady, I actually like screenshotted all the cast stuff, so I would actually know because I'm so bad at remembering. Debbie Mazar, she's a lady. She has like blue eyes that betray everything else about her.
Oh, she usually plays a villain, but she's a good guy in this.
It's because she has like, she plays a villain because her eyes don't look like they match her body.
Mm-hmm. I've never thought of her that way.
They just are so. Brendan Sexton from Welcome to the Dollhouse.
He is a chameleon. I did a montage, a collage of him, of his various roles. He has done so many roles that where I'm just like, who are you? Like,
yeah.
Recently I saw him in Green Room.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's quite good, but he's in it. And I was just like, boy, you've grown.
He can do a lot, especially for having such a distinct voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, his voice also changed.
Yeah, but like, his like natural voice is so, it's just like this raspy kind of like punk mm-hmm. kid voice. Mm-hmm. And he grew up and became a man.
I wrote down somewhere, Randall has the best laugh.
Ethan Randall or?
I mean, or
Brendan.
I mean, Warren. Warren has the best laugh.
Yeah, because it's so like a maniac.
Yeah, he's such the dick kid. Like, I would have been terrified of this kid if I was that age.
Yes. In Welcome to the Dollhouse, I think he's
so, legit scary.
He's so funny because he's like sitting across the room from, I forget the character's name.
Daniel Wiener?
Yes. And he's like, I'm going to rape you. And he just is whispering that over and over and over again.
I feel so bad laughing at that, but it's so crazy.
But it is so of the time, too. Mm-hmm. That like, that's like how people were bullies when we were younger. And then if a guy said that, you're like, I guess he likes me.
Yeah, it's like, I feel flattered. But it's it's insane.
And then the guy from Grease 2. What is his name? Oh, Maxwell Caulfield, who played Rex Manning.
Oh, is he from Grease? Oh, my God. I didn't even put that together. You know, his character, Rex Manning Day, that whole thing. It's the same day as the death of Kurt Cobain.
Yes. It's a little nod to the filmmaker because Kurt Cobain died that year.
Yeah.
And so even though in the movie they don't say it's
yeah, they
the
don't
same
mention it
day,
at all.
But that's like his little nod there.
Well, here's my thing. How is Rex Manning Day a nod to Kurt Cobain dying?
Maybe.
Because it's not, it's they're celebrating it like ironically.
Who's Rex? King of what? Rex is.
He's like a Barry Manilow.
No, Tom but Jones the name type. Rex is like a, it's not, it's a Roman god.
Oh,
King
I don't
Rex.
Know. Oh, you're asking the wrong
okay,
person.
Well, it may mean something. Uh-huh. I didn't do my research. I should have, but
I thought I did, but apparently
something.
I didn't.
But yeah, he plays like this kind of like, so like that's the, so we just say what the movie's about.
Oh yeah.
It's like this record store that is so 90s. And just like you said, it is Amoeba in Amoeba's heyday.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in like, I think New Jersey or somewhere on the East Coast.
Yeah, somewhere East Coast. They drive to where you could drive to Atlantic City.
Yeah. So that's why I assume like New Jersey, but it's like a smaller town.
Yeah.
And
because when Rex Manning arrives, he's like, ugh, what is this shit town?
Yeah. And there's just a bunch of teenagers of like every different type of teen you could mm-hmm. imagine. Mm-hmm. They did such a good job of like being like, these are the kids who would work at the store and also being different types.
Yeah.
And it starts with like this guy. Oh, what is his
Lucas.
Name? Lucas gets the clothes for the first time.
Mm-hmm. They use a lot of retail terms in this movie. Closing, for people that don't know, is when a store is closing and someone's in charge of shutting down the registers, locking the doors, counting the money, and depositing the money.
Yes.
It's a weirdly big job.
And he's like this sort of weird guy who it's very clear that that's not something he should be trusted with.
Yeah, he's like a fuck up.
But Joe is the manager. And is Joe his adoptive father?
Joe, Well,
because he says that he was in foster care until he was 13. And yeah. That's when he came. That's when he met Joe.
Yeah. So I don't think Joe adopted him, but I think Joe is sort of a father figure.
But I really do think that like he might live with Joe or something. I have no idea.
I'm not clear on what that relationship is.
It's just because I rewatched it and I was like, what? That's weird.
Yeah.
And whatever. He finds out that the store is in danger of becoming a franchise.
Mm-hmm. Music Town,
which is very like Tower Records. Like, mm-hmm. Oh no, fuck.
Yeah, we're going to go corporate.
Oh, no.
He literally finds blueprints in the desk where he's counting the money, where you get like, I forget what it's called.
It's like this little vinyl overlay on that he's like, oh, when the store changes, it'll look like this. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. They're just going to put a sign over it and stuff.
But it's done so well because it's done in a way that does it. Even today, rewatching it, it's not corny feeling. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it is a little nostalgia, but like they get out that exposition in a way that's like, sorry to be like blah, blah, blah. But like they do get that exposition of like, this is the store's history. And then here's what could be happening. They kind of set up the stakes so mm-hmm. quickly. Yeah. And then so Lucas goes to Atlantic City and he loses all the money. At first he's winning though.
Yeah, he's like weirdly enchanted when he first arrives.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines of the movie is the lady who's like standing by him while he's mm-hmm. winning. And she's mm-hmm. like, ooh, baby, you are six. And I just think it's the weirdest. It's like the weirdest line and the best line read.
Yeah, it's very 90s.
Oh, there's just so many like lines like that that like I don't think really work, and these people made them work so well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wonder, I really do now like watching, I'm like, is any of this improvised?
I wonder, because a lot of the dialogues, well, here's the thing, some of the dialogue is improvised.
Yeah, that's what I was, oh, you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's why it feels like that.
Yeah, there's a scene, the scene where AJ tells Corey that he loves her, that was improvised. Like, because there's a scene, he's like, I love you, like, French vanilla sundae.
Yeah.
That, you could thank him for those lines.
Okay. Well, because there are definitely so many moments in the scene, in the whole movie, where I'm like, there's no way someone thought to write this.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, reading up on it, and apparently the actors all lived, like, in houses together. Like,
oh, boy.
Like, or next to, like, they lived in, like, beach houses together.
That's amazing.
While filming this, because the director wanted them to, like, bond. Be really close.
Yeah, and it totally feels that way. It totally feels like these are people that hang out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, it's so uniquely awesome. And then, like, there's different variations of the cool kid. Liv Tyler's the preppy girl.
Yeah, she's, like, the one, she's the daddy's girl, straight A kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Like she, her whole thing is they keep saying she's going to go to Harvard.
Yeah.
Which I don't mean to be a bitch, but that made me laugh. Renee Zellweger.
Is like the slut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy to me.
And then
but she does it well.
She really plays it well in a way. And also like a way that's like, like she plays a slut in a way where she doesn't feel like she judges that character.
Yes.
Even if I feel like the screenwriter judges that character. Like there's a little moralistic comeuppance to her.
I think that's characteristic, not a characteristic, attributed to how likable Renee is.
Yes.
I think because she plays a slut where it's not like, it doesn't feel mean. It doesn't feel sad. It feels just like, oh, you.
Yeah.
Like, this girl still has female friends.
Until she, like, does her friend wrong, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but, okay, so.
Wait. Let's finish the characters and then go back to what happens in this fucking movie. Yeah. Sorry, am I cursing too much? Do you have to bleep it all out?
No.
Okay. Then we have Robin Tooney, who plays Deb, who's, like, the really, like, messed up, the dark horse or black sheep of this like group.
Yeah, she's like, she's kind of mean to the other girls.
She has a really amazing scene though where she like comes in, is doesn't speak to anyone, flips everyone off, then mm-hmm. locks herself in a bathroom
and shaves
and
her head.
Literally shaves her head. Like you watch her cut her hair and shave it.
Uh-huh.
And we find out that she's had a suicide attempt the night before.
Do we find out she had a suicide attempt before she shaves her head?
After.
Oh.
Because the guys are like checking her out and then they see that she has a bandage wrapped wrist.
I could have sworn you see it before she shaves
her head. You might when she flips them off that she raises.
I think we see it in the bathroom.
We might see it in the bathroom, yeah.
Also, why did... Okay.
Go ahead.
Why does a place where you work have clippers in the bathroom?
I think maybe Lucas could live there. You I don't know.
Lucas just lives there?
He might live there. So then there's Lucas,
yeah,
who is like the... He's also like kind of like, I don't know. When we're seeing him, he wants to be like a zenned out. Everything is working out the way it's supposed to be. But it seems like maybe before that he was kind of just like accidental fuck up. He's so cartoonish, though.
He's making bold choices.
And like, even like, well, we'll get to that later. But there are parts where I'm like, he's literally written like this isn't like a stick. He should have a stick of Acme Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, like he's like almost cartoonish. It's charming.
Yeah.
It's charming. But he's very just like, cause when he loses the night deposit money, which is like $9,000.
Yes. Which Joe was like, well, go ahead. Yeah.
Joe, the owner, he's like, where is it? And Lucas is very like, why does everything have to be all about money?
Yeah.
Very Karate Kid-esque. And, I remember, here's the age difference. I saw this when I was in my early teens, and I remember thinking Joe was a hard ass. But seeing it now, and I'm 34, I'm just like, Joe, you're being way too cool about this.
I know. Like, that you think, like, because there's a part where Joe literally beats him up.
Yeah.
And you're like, how could you? Joe's, you're going crazy. And you're like, oh, no, this is like.
Yeah, I'm like, this was overdue.
Because I'm like the same. I was like maybe like 13 or something when I saw it for the first time. And
yeah.
And
I was just like, dude, Joe, chill the fuck out. But now I'm like, yeah, Joe, now you call the cops.
Also, you're like, Joe, you're a fuck up too, dude.
Yeah.
Like you're, I don't know. Man, who plays Joe? It's, I know the actor.
Anthony LaPaglia.
Paglia, yeah.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
He's been in so many things. Then we have Mark Ethan Randall / Embry. I love Mark so much.
He was a 90s baby.
He was my crush. Like,
really?
Watching the movie, who was your crush? Was
Lucas.
It? Lucas, okay. And then Mark was mine. Like, that's who I was like, I'm obsessed with him.
It was so interesting because there was like, I was looking at everyone's hair and I was like, there's different versions. You have every quintessential 90s haircut. Lucas had the George Clooney close cropped hair.
Yes.
And Ethan.
That like almost Caesar. Yeah. That yeah, Caesar cut.
That. And I thought it was beautiful and chic on him. And he's wearing a really cool turtleneck.
A ribbed black turtleneck. Yeah.
So he has that cool 90s beat kid vibe.
And Mark has like his like skater punk sort of.
It's like.
He's like just a stoner though, mostly.
He has that shaggy bowl cut.
Yeah.
And he has that skater vibe. And he is making some crazy choices in this.
Yes. But for most, he's like constant, like he, I don't know. That's why I'm like, he's like a stoner, halfway tweaked out kid.
There's a part where he receives. Okay. So Mark also works in the store and he's like the baby brother goofball character.
Yeah.
He receives pot brownies from someone else that works
from
there.
From Eddie, who I guess is the actual stoner character, right?
From Eddie, who also works there and it also seems like a hardcore burnout, too.
Yeah, he's like...
Who oddly has two jobs.
What's his other job?
He works at a pizza place.
Oh, right. Well, that makes sense. Eddie is like... He, I think, is one of, like, watching it now, one of my favorite actors to watch in the movie.
Really?
Because there's something so, like, very natural and real about what he's doing.
Mm.
The other ones are all great, too, but, like, being like, whatever happened to that guy? That guy's great.
Yeah, he's very specific. And, like, you don't doubt it for a second.
Yeah. Then the other, like, hunky heartthrob is AJ.
He's
supposed to be, like, the leading man.
He has Backstreet Boy hair.
Yes, he has like
split down the middle.
Oh, it's like almost slick, dark brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's dressed as like he's like the artist kind. He's got a cardigan on.
He's dressed like Sean from Boy Meets World.
Yes, he's very Ryder Strong, hot boy. and he is in love with
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler's Corey, right?
Yeah, and he's in love with her, and he's gonna. He chose today.
Today on Rex.
The whole movie takes place in a day.
Yeah, it's Rex Manning Day, and that's why.
He decides to tell her how he feels. He decides to tell her that he loves her.
And I think the last cast member is Coyote Shivers, who played Burko, who is in the movie Deb's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who they got into a big fight and then she tried to kill herself.
Yeah.
He sucks, I think.
As an actor?
I think he might suck all around. But like in the movie, he's bad. He's terrible.
He, at the time, did you know he was actually Liv Tyler's stepdad?
Yes. And he like lied about his age, but he was married to, what's her name? BB.
I don't know her name.
Whatever. But like, yeah. So he was, that's so weird that your stepdad would be in a movie with you.
And he's supposed to be playing your peer.
And he's not, like, that's the thing. It's like, that's what was crazy. It's like, he's not that great.
His part was not that big, to be fair.
But even still, if it's not that big, then every line, you should make me cream my jeans. Like, it should be like, you got time. You got time to make it good, right?
Well, what stood out to me is that he said he lied about his age and said that he was younger than he was. And he's like, I look young anyway. And I remember thinking, I'm like, you look older than the other kids.
Yes, he looks, I mean, like, you know, a 35-year-old.
Yeah.
I would assume Robin Tooney was older too, mm-hmm. But I don't know. What's really cool about her is that she shaves her head in this movie, and then she's in The Craft wearing a wig.
Yes! I love that. She went from badass to badass.
Yeah.
Mood. Every time I see that scene where she shaves her head in the bathroom, it always makes me want to shave my head.
You could do it.
I know, but the thing is, I also have to remind myself, I do not look like Robin Tooney, who has these giant saucer eyes and this delicate frame, and like...
She has like... Yeah, you know that they were looking at Angelina Jolie to
yes,
play that part?
I wrote that down.
And I could see her. Like, she is, It's like Robin Tooney. You're like, yeah, maybe she's the more accessible version of that, like, dark, brooding Angelina Jolie type.
Yeah, yeah. But they said she came in too crazy.
She was too intense. I bet she would have swallowed that.
Oh, yeah, she
cast
was.
Hole.
Yeah, she would have eaten the whole cast whole.
Especially, like, next to, like, Renee Zellweger, because Robin Tooney and Renee in the movie have such a fun back and forth between like Deb and what's her name?
Gina.
Gina, yeah. They have like a fun, like, it's very clear there's some disdain there, but they're so like,
they have fun being catty to each
their
other.
Their wit is very like similar and it's fun to watch.
Gina's dialogue seemed the most written.
Yeah. It's like, shock me with that deviant behavior. Like, Sinead O'Rebellion.
Yeah.
It's like very like, yeah, like I'm clever.
Yeah. It's very, her dialogue, I think, was very systemic in the 90s of just like, listen to how smart these characters are.
Yes. Like, aren't they clever?
Yeah.
They're so clever, right?
Yeah. Look at all this, like, look at all this wit she's spitting. And I'm like, I can tell she doesn't think this. I can tell you someone wrote it.
Yeah. And she's delivering it the best she can.
Oh, no, she's doing great.
Since it feels like, you know, an older guy wrote this.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, girls don't really talk like this.
But that's sort of like, that's the whole cast. And like, the jumping off point is Lucas loses that money. And Joe's like, you idiot, not to pay it back.
Yeah.
I was going to try to make an offer to the boss to buy the store. And they're like, oh, no. And then Rex Manning comes in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, and then he's an asshole and.
Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, here's another plot hole. Not plot hole. Plot. Liv Tyler decides that she's going to lose her virginity to Rex Manning.
Yes. Today's the day. Little good girl's going to. And
because she has a huge crush on him.
And so Gina, her BFF slut friend, gives her her bra.
Red bra.
Her red bra because it's sexier.
Mm-hmm. It's bright red. It is sexy.
Yeah, it's so weird too, because as a kid watching that, I was like, I mean, I get it, because it's like, ooh, having sex with a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
But as a grown up, I'm like, oh my God, that 40-year-old man and that child, she screams at Joe that she wants to bring Rex his lunch, which is very funny because I watched it today and it's such like a crazy moment for Liv Tyler. And now when you find out that she's secretly on speed.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Because she does a lot of things where I'm just like, dude, calm down.
Yeah.
And it makes sense later because, oh, she's on speed.
Yeah. So she brings Rex his lunch and then like does like the seduction dance of like putting her leg up, her tiny, oh, her outfit is what I wanted to be.
I've tried so many times to mimic that outfit. Long cashmere sweater.
Just like 150 pounds too heavy, I think, for it. But
no,
but
I
she's
see
got
you
that little blue crop top. Mm-hmm.
With those grunge boots.
Oh, and she has like the center part hair unwashed. She just,
you have similar colored hair.
I think you should just do it.
God.
I could only imagine what kind of like chafing would happen if I wore a skirt that short. You can't wear any shorts under it.
That's what I heard. Fun trick that I learned from Ryza of all people.
Oh.
Deodorant. Inside.
Oh. Little glide?
Yeah.
Little
powdered, not gel.
Okay. Yeah, gel deodorant would be very funny.
That would be unfortunate, but get some deodorant. Yeah. Get some of that.
Maybe she was just trying to tell you you have a stinky crotch.
No. Because I saw her do it.
Okay.
And then I'm like, what are you doing?
She knows all the things.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a seduction scene where she just undresses in front of him, and mm-hmm. then he unbuckles his pants. And I assume we are to believe he pulled it out. He pulls his dick out and is like, yeah. He doesn't say suck it, but he might as well.
Yeah, well, he's awful. He's just like, are you sure about this? And she's like, yeah, super sure. And he's like, all right. He leans back, unbuckles his pants. He has a napkin tied and tucked into his collar. He doesn't even take that off.
He's wearing a silk purple Western shirt.
He looks like Tom. Well, I looked online. His character was an amalgam of Tom Jones and Rod Stewart.
Okay. I can see it all.
So it feels his character looks very gross.
Yeah, he's disgusting. I mean, although I then watched Grease 2 and I was like, nope, I'm on board for him. But yeah, he's gross. I have thought, though, what did she think he was going to do?
I don't know. I think she thought
like,
he would be...
Like, is sucking a dick ruder than having sex? I guess maybe, but like...
Maybe she thought he would be like gentle and woo her.
Yes. But she didn't start that way. Like, yeah. I mean, she's a teenager.
She's also a teenager who was hopped up on speed.
She's all hopped up on speed, which is so sad because she freaks out. She's humiliated that mm-hmm. she's thrown herself.
She runs to the roof because everything good happens on the roof in the 90s.
And of course, our little artist is up there.
Yeah, being artsy.
He's being artsy. Should we say that he has also done a lot of weird art all around the store? Like,
the
gluing quarters.
Everyone in this movie has done something that would get them fired at an actual job. Like AJ glues quarters to the ground,
mm-hmm.
like super glues quarters to the ground.
I love that moment when Warren's trying to pick up a quarter and he's like, who put these quarters here? And he's like, I don't feel the need to explain my art to you, Warren. I just really like it.
But I could just, it's such a weird thing to do. And I could see someone because I worked retail. I could see someone getting fired over that. But
so AJ's on the roof mm-hmm. and he's like, now's the time. I got to tell her I'm in love with her.
In an improvised scene where he refers to her as a hot fudge sundae.
Yes. Or a warm bath. Mm-hmm. I was like, what kind of guy his age is taking a bunch of baths?
And he knew that he loved her because he still liked her, even though she wore that ugly skirt one time.
Yeah. You know, this scene, now that you're saying it, does feel so improvised because it is very clunky.
Yeah, because I remember
thinking,
like,
you don't like that skirt? It's so weird.
Yeah, and I was just like, that's how you know you love her? Because she wore a skirt that you hate?
Oh, man. And then it's just not the right time for her.
No.
She can't handle it. She's overloading.
Yeah, she just offered herself to Rex Manning, and she says this to him, and he's just like, what?
I think that now watching it as a grown-up with an anxiety issue, I'm like, oh, she just had a panic attack. Because watching it as a kid, I'm like, why didn't she just, like, who cares?
Yeah, now it's all fixed.
Yeah, like, oh, great. Another man accepts her. That's all she needs. That's why this is sort of a smart film. Mm-hmm. Like, a little ahead of its time.
Yeah.
That, like, that isn't the solve of it.
Yeah, like, part of me now is just like, dude, AJ, can you not read her facial expression? She's on the verge of tears right now.
Yeah, like it does also, that was another feeling that I had watching it. Was like, he sucks a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he's so wrapped up in his own feelings, he doesn't notice hers
at all. He does something weirdly insane at the end of the movie.
What?
This is the last scene. We're jumping around like crazy, but that's fine. He surprises her because at the end of the movie, Liv Tyler decides that she actually does love him.
She just didn't know it because she had so much other stuff going on.
And the movie's coming to an end.
It's such a rushed monologue.
Yeah, and she weirdly shoves him really hard and being like, you're so stupid if you don't know how smart you are.
Yeah, it's so weird. It feels as if the actor doesn't want to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Sort of, if that's improvised as well.
Uh-huh.
We'll assume all of Liv Tyler's lines are improvised because she can't read.
She's like listening on an earpiece.
Or they're just like, this is what you want to do in this scene. She's like, uh-huh, got it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, but he says he is going to art school. He's going to art school in Boston so he could be near her at Harvard.
And then she pretends to pass out.
Yeah, and he catches her.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He did this before she said she loved him.
And
after she rejected him.
Has she gotten into Harvard for sure?
We don't know.
I think he's really, I mean.
I'm like.
Also, was it really easy to get into schools in the 90s?
Yeah, I'm like, even for art school, I'm like, you got to set up a packet. You got a deadline.
You did this in a, like, there's not even, like, you're not even hopping on the web.
Yeah.
AOL. Like,
yeah.
You can't submit.
Yeah, I didn't see you fill out shit.
No.
Like, you must have just decided in your mind.
Maybe that's what it is. He's just like, I'm going to art school.
And a part of me is like, I have the vibe that you're poor. How are we going to art school?
I mean, I assume all of them are a little poor.
Yeah, except for maybe Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler's not poor, but
although Renee Zellweger's character, she has like a nice-ass car.
The coolest car ever. It's like an old, like 1980s Bronco that is topless.
Yes.
Very much like her character.
But I'm like, those aren't cheap cars.
No. I have no idea.
I was just like, how the hell does she have a nice ass car? Because her mom is supposed to be like trailer trash.
Yeah. And so, well, jumping back, whenever after we have Liv Tyler try to fuck Rex Manning, then for some reason she decides to be as mean to her best friend as she could possibly be.
She weirdly like lashes out at Renee. Like she takes her bra off while they're out at lunch or something.
Yeah.
Slams it on the table and she's like, and Renee is trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, I'm not like you, okay? I don't just do it with whoever comes around.
Yeah. And then it's truly one of the meanest scenes.
It's very weird.
And so Renee's like, oh, yeah, what'd you do? Did you act perfect? Did you act better than him? She's like, fuck, I can't think of anything mean. I can't think of anything bad.
Is that what you think? You think that I do it with everyone I meet? And then she's like,
she's talking like this. She's got that great raspy voice. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
At least I was doing something.
So then they have a huge fight.
Mm-hmm.
They're so mean. It's not their only fight, though.
That's the first one.
And then our dear, sweet stoner Eddie sits down because he works at that pizza place.
Yeah.
After Renee Zellweger storms off. And what does he say? I forget. Oh, he maybe offers her pizza or like ask if she's going to finish that.
I think he's just being cordial, and yeah. She's just like, oh, Eddie, not now.
He says that it's the sweetest way to say it too. He goes, hey, what'd I do? I just loved it.
And then they leave the red bra there, and he's like, you forgot your thingy.
Yeah, it's so funny. As like an eighth grade kid watching this, it was like, there's just so many fun moments in it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so
much. Yeah, the whole thing about this movie, like even the structure, it's very 90s. Because there will be a couple of scenes I'm like, what was the purpose of this? Oh, no, no purpose.
It's just like character color.
Yeah.
They're like giving every character a chance to do like their thing.
Yeah, like do something just to do something.
I love this little thing they have. This like, not gimmick, but like, what do you call things in writing when you do it over and over? Anyway,
pattern.
Yeah, well, just like the moment where they like all get to pick music. But,
oh yeah, with the M&Ms.
But they get to veto one song a day, and there's like a drastic change, and like it really like helps the scene move along, and it changes like whatever we're doing in the moment. That like it changes direction.
People, yeah, it's such a good illustration of how much music can change the scene feel. Because it can go from like metal where people are thrashing around.
Yeah.
to Rex Manning where everyone starts dancing all sexy.
Yes, that scene where they start dancing sexy and AJ
takes his shirt off.
And so does Deb. Deb and AJ both take their shirts off, I think.
Does Deb take her shirt off?
Or maybe it's just the tank top that she takes off her, like, cardigan. Yeah. But they are having, like, I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, Deb, like, are you into AJ?
I feel like the actors got too into it. And then they're like, well, it works. Let's leave it.
Yeah, it was very strange.
And Mark's dancing with an older lady.
Which is adorable.
It's so cute. God, I love Mark.
Okay, so
we have jumped all around.
It's okay.
I assume everyone has seen Empire Records, though, right?
I mean, I at least get references to it.
Oh, God. It's just my favorite.
My notes are crazy right now.
Where do you want to go to? Should we? Okay, so.
Gina does this really. Oh, the thing that I thought would have gotten Gina fired is she come because they find out that the store is going to be turned into a music town. Which and everyone's so against it because they have the most corporate rules, like no tattoos, no revealing clothing, and they get aprons. And so Gina comes out.
It looks
out,
like a Home Depot apron.
Yeah, it's bright orange. Mm-hmm. And she comes out wearing just the apron.
And her underwear. That's it. Just
her,
like,
underwear and
just
heels.
Just panties, heels, and an apron. And she's dancing around. And that's when Rex Manning makes his entrance.
Yeah. And she's dancing around the room in the back. But I'm just like, I could easily see someone getting fired over.
I mean, it's a different time now.
True.
So for sure you couldn't do it. Like, yeah. But back then, I think you would get fired too, but it's rock and roll, baby. It's cool.
Yeah.
So after, I know where we are. After Liv Tyler and Renee get into the fight, then as retribution, Renee Zellweger decides she's going to fuck Rex Manning because she can do what Liv Tyler can't do, which is true. Like, Liv Tyler says it, I'm not like you. And she's like, fine, I'll go prove what happens when you are like me. You can fuck the rock star.
Yeah. And what's amazing is Gina has this talent where she can guess what brand and color underwear men are wearing.
And she's right.
Yeah.
She's absolutely right.
And
what a good pickup line for a girl. Because even if you're wrong, it's still like we all know what's happening.
Oh,
no one really cares about the trick.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they do it in that back room where he was supposed to have his lunch.
It's so funny because the whole everyone that works there figures it out so fast.
Oh, yeah. Everyone very quickly is like, where's Rex? Where's Gina?
Oh, boy. The copy room is locked or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or the break room.
Yeah. Some room where they have the money or whatever. And Liv Tyler's like, she, of course, Liv is the last to know. Everyone knows except for Liv. And she's just like, why is this door locked? And
where's Gina? Where's Rex? She's like holding her till.
Yeah.
She throws it on the ground.
Yeah, she chucks it.
I will, like, backing up a little bit to Rex Manning and Gina's sex scene. It's very funny because it's very clear there's no chemistry there. Like, it's like, it's like very fast and he's like throwing her on the copy machine, but you can almost feel as if like they're clicking teeth, sort of like awkwardness between the two of them.
Yeah,
but they're still doing it anyway.
Yeah, the type of sex they have is very fitting to the scene.
It's like a joyless fuck.
Yeah, like Gina's very much like, let's just do this.
Yeah. And so they come out, Gina's like adjusting and Rex Manning's like buckling his belt.
Yeah, and he's like, what? No applause?
Oh.
And then AJ attacks
AJ, our wild artist, attacks him. And then quickly is pulled. He doesn't do, all he does is he jumps from a higher, I don't know how he was on a higher plane. He jumps from a higher plane onto Rex Manning, pushing him onto a couch. Very lucky.
Yeah, very safe.
And then just sort of pushes his chin up. Yeah. He doesn't do any actual hitting.
Yeah.
He's just put, because he's an art nerd. He doesn't know how to fight.
He doesn't know how to make a fist.
No, he knows how to tell you that he's bleeding inside from death or sadness, but he doesn't know how to punch someone.
But he does get sucker punched.
Yeah, because his coworkers pull him off and then Rex Manning punches him in the face. And then everyone turns on Rex Manning.
Yeah, they're like, we hate your new album. Your hair's stupid.
Get out of here.
And his assistant quit on him.
So, like, he gets thrown out and then everyone sort of then turns on Gina. They're like, so
how could you?
They're so disgusted by, which is crazy.
Yeah, I remember thinking, I'm like, dude.
I would not say anything because it would be the most exciting day of work ever. If I caught a coworker fucking anyone else, I'd be like, this is what I live for.
Yeah. Like, okay, one, you caught coworkers fucking in the break room.
You could talk about this for the next 2 months.
Like, everyone gets to go home early. It's so insane. And two, it's with the celebrity guest.
Oh my gosh, yes. In fact, this isn't just a story you're going to talk about every day with your coworkers.
This is going to make the news.
You're going to talk about this for the rest of your life. This is going to come up at dinner parties forever.
Yeah, yeah.
What a good day. Yeah. But they're all so mad at her.
Yeah, they're like, oh, disgusting.
And then Joe's like, Gina, I think you should go home. She's like, am I fired? He's like, am I firing anyone today? No, why would I start with you? Which I really loved that moment. But he's just like, and then Liv Tyler has her like,
meltdown.
It's a good freak out too.
You know she workshopped it.
Yeah. Like she was in the moment. She's screaming and thrash.
She runs around and like trashes the place and is like, nothing's ever okay. And they play metal in the background. So it's so much crazier.
And then like the guys are like trying to like restrain her, but so much like she's fighting so hard that she's literally in the air as they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, and then it leads to some tenderness between her
and Deb. And Deb's really mean to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Deb, the hot mess suicide attempt, is like, let me calm down this little perfect girl. But she is being very tender and like, and then it leads to...
She had a weird thing with her character where she always... she called her the princess. She called her a liar.
Yeah. Because, well, I think she saw...
I think she knew something was up with her.
She saw into... Like, she understood, like, you're not as perfect as you seem.
Yeah, something's up with you.
Yeah, and that it is, like, the drugs thing.
And when she did see what was up with her, she's like, oh, okay.
Okay, now that you're being... Well, it was the moment of honesty is what I think Deb really latched onto.
Yeah.
The messiness that she was like, oh, I see you reflected. Like, yeah, I see my reflection.
You're being yourself.
Yeah, right, and also I can see me in you now. Uh-huh. Like, I can relate to you.
There's some weirdness where Deb pees in front of her.
Well, that's a girl, you know. I remember I had a friend in like junior high and high school that would like literally make me sit outside the bathroom door and talk to her while she pooped.
That's
like
awful.
Of her home.
That's awful.
She's like, I don't like to be alone.
Oh my God.
Honestly, I just remembered, as I'm saying it, it feels like I'm remembering trauma.
Oh God, to hear everything.
She's like, you can leave when I wipe. And I was like, it doesn't matter now.
When I wipe?
The deed's been done. I'm horrified.
Like me flushing the rest of this down, your company can go too.
I really like when I see people in television and movies, well, mostly in movies, when I see women wipe, because I'm like, did you get it good? I feel like you didn't get it good. I don't want to hit it a second time.
Yeah. Like, there will be mornings where I'll hurt my back trying to wipe. I'll be completely honest.
I literally decided to go on a diet because wiping got too hard.
It's like, if I hurt myself
yoga
or
and
if I'm
lose
sick,
some weight.
I'm like, this, we might have to do a couple tries here before we can reach.
I really think we got to get a bidet.
Or someone in a Secret Santa gift exchange from my cousins, it was a wipe extender.
Oh.
Yeah, it's for people that are injured or whatever. And I
had short little arms.
Or for me, it would be like, oh, if I ever want to get acrylics again.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of reasons why wiping's hard, guys.
Yeah, and I'm just like, if wiping could be easier and sanitation-ier, I'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
This is the best part of the podcast so far, where we talked about our trials and tribulations of wiping. But at this moment, this scene leads to...
funeral.
Yeah, Corey deciding, like, why did you want to kill yourself? And just, like, she was just having a bad time. Like, just that she thought it'd be easier if she weren't around. So Corey was like, great, I'm going to show you what it would be like if you weren't around. Mm-hmm. And so she has this...
They have the coolest 90s funeral.
Oh, yeah. It's like candles. And everyone says like what they would miss. And Deb is like, ugh, you guys are so lame.
Yeah.
It's very hard for her to accept it.
Yeah. But I also notice everyone also brings up their own shit during her funeral.
I mean, they really do make it about themselves. But isn't that what we do at funerals? It's never about the person who's died. And maybe that's what she needed to learn, is that if you die, like, yeah, I guess you'll be gone, but everyone's really just going to make it about themselves. And do you want that?
No.
Didn't you already feel a little invisible?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll just literally be gone then. So you will be invisible.
Well, a powerful moment during this funeral scene is Deb unbandages her bandage.
And shows... Do we see it?
Yeah, we see it.
It's like a bunch of little scratch marks on her wrist because she tried to kill herself with a pink Lady Bic.
Yeah.
And it didn't really, it's hard. I mean,
she also try to kill herself in the craft?
They tried to.
No, but in the very beginning, she has scars on her wrist.
Yes, that's right.
So she is post-suicidal in both of these movies.
They're like, this is what a girl who wants to kill herself but shouldn't looks like. and then we have Gina comes back because during Corey's speech, I guess she didn't like her, so it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That during her speech, she was just like, I miss Gina.
I wonder what she's doing.
She's been gone 3 hours. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah, and also... Is this the longest lunch break ever? Because all the employees are there.
It's really funny. Well, because they have Mark on the floor alone. Yeah. And he literally like screams, help me, help me, help me over. Yeah. Like they use their like their speaker system, not to just like announce things to the patrons, but also to like announce things to each other or to like screw with each other.
Or announce that there's a shoplifter.
Yes. That was the thing. So we're going back and forth a lot. It's really hard to tell because there's so many like little storylines.
Uh-huh.
But at some point, there is also a shoplifter earlier in the day who is Warren, played by Brendan Sexton III.
Yeah.
And this is the moment where Lucas really shines because he like immediately sees it because I think Lucas is like Brendan Sexton. Like that was Lucas a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he chases Lucas down. But this is where I was thinking that he really seems like a Looney Tunes character because he's literally like, is it Droopy the dog? You know how like every time like Droopy the dog, like if you open up an elevator, he's there.
Oh,
like you're trying to get away from Droopy.
Yeah.
Like Lucas is doing that.
Oh yeah.
For real.
He's appearing wherever Warren tries to run to.
Yeah.
A real fun moment for that for me was, he spots Warren doing some shit with a magnet.
Yes.
To get the CDs, like open up the cases or whatever and like shove them in his pocket. And as he's doing this, Mark is talking to him about his idea for a band called Mark.
But he's like, how are you going to spell it? He's like, well, my name's with a K, so I probably spell it with a C. It's like, trippy. Yeah. Always keep them on their toes. Like, it's very fun.
But while he's doing this, he is changing his shoes into running shoes.
Oh, God. What a good little detail.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, holy shit.
He knows he's going to.
Yeah. Like, you see him just like all of a sudden pull out a box of shoes and just change into running shoes.
That's so funny. Do you know what's, I think, really interesting? So this actually isn't an independent film. I didn't realize that. Oops. Sorry. Got you guys.
Mm.
But it was one that was sort of like canned by...
It was a flop.
Well, because they didn't promote it at all.
Oh, really?
They didn't like how it came out. And
well,
so...
Well, also, they said for a test screening, it didn't do well.
Yeah. Which who knows who they tested it in front of?
Yeah.
So they didn't promote it well.
Yeah.
They probably tested it around, like, I go to test screenings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 30-something-year-old struggling whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they tested it in front of. They should have tested it in front of teenagers.
Teenagers, yeah.
Which is hard to do without seeming like a pedophile. Hey guys, you want to come watch a movie?
No, not she's you, a, adult. You're
just
one
a kid. But they didn't promote it at all, and it literally made like I think 70,000, like made no money.
Yeah,
And then was such an immediate like I think the soundtrack got a lot of like it did really well, and then I think once it went to VHS, it like when kids could get a hold of it, then it became like truly a cult classic.
Yeah,
for,
like I remember I saw it on VHS.
Yeah,
and I was like psyched.
I would rent it all the time.
My cousin showed it to me. She's like, "Honey, you have to see this movie." And I was like, "Holy shit!"
It's so like it really just is such like a time capsule of a period of my life of being like, "This is all I want to be."
Like everyone's life comes to a like. Oh, Gina reveals that she's not brave, like Liv Tyler says, because she wants to sing in a band, but she's too scared to audition. This made me kind of snicker because I'm like, that's a very achievable dream.
I know. There is like, it felt like they were like, we got to give everyone a wand. Let's give everyone a wand. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, I don't know. I guess she wants to sing in a band. It was like, we don't have enough time to wrap anything else up. And the same thing with like Mark. What does Mark want?
Yeah. I think, maybe when you're a teenager, the idea of singing for a band just feels like the end all be all.
Oh, yeah.
But also weirdly very hard.
Yeah. So
like, I feel like if you told me a dream of mine is to sing in a band, I'm like, we could do that tonight if you want to.
I guess they're just like less bands where they're at. You would think they would know so many.
Yeah. I'm like, Mark was about to start a band. One of them was in a band, it looked like.
Yeah. Burko is in a band.
Yeah.
I always thought that the band was called Coyote Shivers. I didn't realize his name is Coyote Shivers.
His name is Coyote Shivers?
His name. He was married to that, what is her name? Paulette or Paul? That lady who was on like, oh gosh, she was on NCIS. She has the black hair, bangs, and like always wore it in like two pigtails or buns. She like got beat up by homeless people multiple times.
Multiple? I just know about the one. What happened?
No, it happened a second time.
Why did it happen
honestly,
a second time?
Honestly, if it happens a second time, you have to start asking yourself what you're doing
to provoke. I was just like, multiple.
I think multiple times.
I heard about the first time.
And I think she was fired from the show.
Was she?
I think so. I could be saying all kinds of slander against this woman. I believe her to be a little strange. And they have like gone through like a really nasty divorce recently.
Oh, wow.
Where there's like a lot of allegations of abuse and stalking on both sides. So.
Oh, man.
So that's why I was like, I don't know if he's great. Mm-hmm. But he does look like an old man. Anyway, so when did we find out that we have a visit from the owner of the store, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's
our is he the owner?
He's the owner. It's like,
oh, he's a rich yuppie.
Yeah, we find out that his grandfather was the original owner, and
his father turned it into a record store. His beatnik father turned it into a record store.
Yes, and he really resents that. Yeah. He was like, I'd make so much money from toilets.
Yeah, he was going to turn it into a toilet factory.
So Joe has been like buying time all day, trying to not give him. Like he's like, oh, you didn't make the drop deposit last night. Uh-huh. And he's the night drop. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, and he scrambles and he just puts a bunch of flyers in a drop.
Yeah. He folds up a bunch of paper and shoves it in a money bag and gives it to him. And I'm just like, that you kind of committed a crime.
Oh, yeah. That's fraud, dude. You can't do that to a bank. They'll get so mad at you.
Yeah. Or you can't do that to someone you work for.
Yeah.
That's insane. And,
so then he comes back and he is basically like, I guess just like, this is done. Like, this is done. We're going to become a music town. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And then they decide they're going to save the empire.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I almost forgot about the fucking gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Warren. Okay. The shoplifter gets busted and he gets arrested and taken away.
Yeah.
And then he comes back with a gun, a huge, comically large gun.
Giant gun.
Yeah. And then he starts firing it and threatening AJ.
AJ. And then Joe. Mm-hmm. And then Deb, who's just had her funeral.
Yeah. She comes out and she's stronger than she's ever been.
Because she doesn't care. She wants to die anyway. So
true.
Big deal, right?
Yeah. So she goes right up to him.
I love the moment where she's like, what do you want, Warren? He's like, don't say anything to me. Say it to my gun. And she screams at, like, she leans into the gun and screams, what do you want, Warren? And it's just so beautiful. I love
it. Yeah, she's amazing. But then they, like, pounce on him again.
Yeah.
And they realize the gun had blanks in it.
Yeah, so he gets arrested.
Yeah, but he also reveals that he wants a job there.
And they're like, is that what this is all about, Warren? Mm-hmm. You want a job here? And mm-hmm. so they decide that they're going to let him work there. So they make him a name tag. And as he's being pulled away by police, they give him his name tag. He's like, wait, will you keep it here for me? Also, the police say, well, since it's blanks, there's not really much we can do. That's not true.
No, 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 no.
It's even if it's not a real weapon, that's a felony, I think.
Yeah. And you just got taken in earlier that day.
Yeah.
Why are they letting you out?
It's crazy.
Like, even with juvie, I'm like, someone has to pick you up and like.
Yeah. Unless there's a great public transportation system in the town.
Yeah. I'm like, why do you keep getting out? It's insane.
So because there's news there because of the shooting.
Yeah.
That's when Mark decides he's going to announce to the town, the area, that they're throwing a big party to save the empire. Save the empire.
Yeah. And that's. The Burko performs with his band.
Yes.
And Deb gets her chance to sing.
Sugar High.
And she's great.
She's great. It's not on the soundtrack and it's such a shame. It's because they only did it. They never recorded it. Like they only did it day of.
Yeah.
And they didn't like how it sounded. They thought it was like too loud. So they didn't include it.
Wow.
What a bummer, right?
That is a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my cousin... I think it might have been her soundtrack that we had, but she's like, I'm so annoyed. It's not the version in the movie.
Yeah. It's just him.
Yeah.
I bet he was just like, please use mine.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand how Coyote Shivers weaseled his way into this movie, weaseled his song onto an album.
I mean.
He just did too much weaseling for me. I don't like it.
I mean, Coyote, he's going to shiver his way through stuff.
Yeah, a cold coyote has to get warm. And then, so they're like selling beer.
Which is super illegal.
To old women and children alike.
Yeah, see old women in curlers and they're buying $5 beer.
Debbie Mazar's helping them. They're like, Deb's like, donations for $10. She's like, no, donations for $20. Like that. That doesn't do anything, Debbie Mazar.
I mean, you won't have to give anyone change.
People just kept putting $5 bills in there. They didn't care what the suggested donation was.
Deb sold her Vespa across the street for $1,900.
Yeah. Because basically, like, Joe has to pay the money back is what we find out. And so since he has to pay $9,000 of his own money, then he can't buy the store. So that's why they're throwing this big party to, like, reimburse Joe and help him be able to buy the empire so that they can stay. So that the status quo will never have to change, even though half of the store is going off to do other shit.
Yeah, they're going to college.
It's so crazy that they're like, we have to save this. And then they're like, and we're going, goodbye.
Yeah. And it's a shame because unless that store is like one of those like treasure troves, it's probably going to be gone within 5 years.
They don't know that, though.
Yeah.
They just didn't know.
No one knew about
they
MP3s.
They didn't know about Amazon.
They didn't know about MP3s. They didn't know about Napster.
iTunes. Yeah.
People are still listening to records there.
Yeah. There's a fun montage in it where there's all these people like
in listening booths,
dancing. And Joe walks up to a listening booth and you just see from the outside of the booth. Mm-hmm. He just shakes his finger. No. And I'm like, what was someone doing in there?
I think there was a couple making out in one.
But that was like earlier in the day. Uh-huh. So it's like a different like moment of this. Where Joe just walks by and goes, no, like wags his finger. I was like, someone was jerking off, I assumed.
I imagine.
Listening to their favorite tunes and loving themselves.
Afternoon delight.
I was just going to say, but they like saved the day.
Did you see the bonus scene after the credits?
What's that? I know I have at one point, but I didn't see it today.
It's Mark and Eddie discussing music. Sitting on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. Just sitting on the curb.
Yeah,
talking about music.
Earnestly discussing music.
Yeah. I think a lot of this movie was, a lot of ad-libbing going on. Just like letting the actors find moments.
Yeah. A lot of shooting the shit.
Yeah. And I think that's why.
It kind of works.
I love it so much. Especially because an interesting thing. Did you know that Lucas and... Gina.
Uh-huh.
So Renee Zellweger and I forget the actor's name.
Mm-hmm.
They were dating because they had met on Dazed and Confused, which was a few years earlier.
Yes.
And in fact, like the cash register has like the Dazed and Confused logo on it.
Yes. I think I saw that somewhere.
It's a really cool like little thing.
That's so cool to get cast in the same movie together.
It's so crazy to get cast in the same movie as your boyfriend, and then you get cast in the same movie as your stepdad.
Yeah.
What a weird... Maybe they just were like, they just sent an email blast. Who can do this movie?
Yeah.
Do you know who's available?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Coyote Shivers like,
please,
I am.
Libby, me, please, me. Libby, I'll give you extra allowance if you give me on that movie. Her mom was probably like, please get him out of the house.
Just let him do some stuff.
I just need this time, Liv. I'm sorry I didn't tell you who your real father was for so long.
Oh, God, what a crazy life.
If you don't know the story of Liv Tyler, so her mom was basically like a fan of Aerosmith, had a one night stand with Steven Tyler, mm-hmm. got pregnant, had a child, but never told Liv Tyler that Steven Tyler, well, she wasn't Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
They didn't tell her who her father was until uh-huh. like one day she became a fan of Aerosmith and was like, what the hell? And she asked her mom and her mom was like, yes. And so like they connected and then she became Liv Tyler and then was immediately in a bunch of his music videos uh-huh. in like a string bikini. Could you imagine being like, you're my real dad? And then he's like, baby, I'm going to be the best daddy ever. Take your clothes off and get in my music video.
It is very strange because, yeah, like she was like a 90s babe because she was in all these like sexy music videos.
But it was Aerosmith videos, though.
Yeah,
she
his
was
dad's
like,
band.
She was the basically like, God, what is the one with the cow udders with Crazy and all that?
I know she's in that one with Alicia Silverstone
yes,
where
but
she's
like,
a stripper.
The album, but she's in like a lot from that album because it's like the one with the cow udders on it with the cow has a pierced udder.
I don't recall.
That's the album cover.
Oh, okay.
But she's in like, I think more than one video and it's her and Alicia Silverstone like uh-huh. being babes on the run. Mm-hmm. Being, it's really like a Thelma and Louise kind mm-hmm. of ripoff video, but it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. What other films would you recommend based on this film?
Okay, great. So obviously I love a teen movie.
Uh-huh.
But I have some other ones that are maybe if you just like quippy fun stuff. I think The Birdcage is such a fun movie mm-hmm. where there's so many like lines that you're going to remember forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it has such a great cast with like Nathan Lane and Robin Williams and Hank Azaria mm-hmm. and Diane Weist and Calista Flockhart. There's mm-hmm. just so many good people in it.
Yeah.
And then Cry Baby.
I haven't seen Cry Baby.
Oh my God. It's so campy.
Uh-huh.
But there's like an element of camp in Empire Records. Like there's so many lines said directly to camera, which does not happen
yeah.
in feature ever.
Yeah.
Unless that's like the whole point. But yeah. But Crybaby's really campy. That's I'm forgetting his name.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah. Johnny Depp and Ricky Lake, Tracy Lords.
Mm.
There's just so many great people in that and it's so funny and so weird.
Mm-hmm. It's like, is that a John Waters movie?
Yes, okay. Yes. It's John Waters. It's just the weirdest and the best. And then, what's my other one? I mean, if you haven't seen Dazed and the Confused, you have to.
I have seen Dazed and Confused.
But I've recommended this before. Your engineer will know it. Home for the Holidays. It's another 1995 movie.
I'm familiar with it. I haven't seen it.
It's my favorite movie.
Is it Holly Hunter?
It's Holly Hunter, Steve Guttenberg, Claire Danes, Robert Downey Jr., Anne Bancroft, Charles Durning, Dylan McDermott, David, whatever, I don't know him, but Austin Pendleton, who I love from Guarding Tess, the old man in Guarding Tess who like kidnaps Tess. Anyway.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, man. But Home for the Holidays, it's another one where there's just so many quotable lines.
Mm-hmm.
If you want that feeling of like, this is a clever and fun but also authentic movie.
Yeah.
I think that, Home for the Holidays is another one of those.
And yeah.
Crybaby is another teen angst, but a different era and very campy.
Yeah.
And then Birdcage is just really fun and quotable and
yeah.
like polished.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well, thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We got renewed for season 7. That's really exciting. I have 3 podcasts, so I will plug them. I have a podcast with Nicole Byer that's only on Patreon. It's called 90 Day Bay, where we talk about 90 Day Fiancé.
Wonderful.
It is so fun. One of the best shows on television. So yeah, that's only on Patreon, 90 Day Bay. Then I have a podcast with Jessica Jardin called Kardashian It. We talk about all things Kardashian. You can find that anywhere. And then my last one, but not least, A Funny Feeling with Betsy Sidaro. We talk about paranormal experiences with comedians and celebrity type folks.
That is so fun. Are you performing anytime soon?
Yeah, I perform at UCB with my team Search History Sundays at 11 p.m.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I feel like we're leaving something out.
Yeah, I did leave it. I heard, well, it's so late. But if you're awake in Los Angeles at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night and you're thinking, I'm never going to get to sleep, come on down to Search History, UCB Franklin, 11 p.m. Bye.
Well, if you guys liked what you heard, you could subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Campfire Media. You could check us out on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Indie Darlings Podcast. Thank you and good night.
This is Betsy Stover.
And I'm Amanda Allen.
And we do a podcast called
Why Mommy Drinks.
Each episode, we have a guest and we all share a story of a time that our kids drove us to drink.
Parenting isn't easy, but it sure can be funny.
Listen to us on Campfire Media.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Campfire.